Hello, squishers and squishettes. Tasha here, just with a quick little preview to what you're in for this episode. We do something a little bit different this time, where Katie and I talk to each other about what's going on in our current day-to-day life. But later in the episode, we bring in my partner, Isaac Kwiatkowski, and we have a bit of a deep dive with today's current state of the world, which I know is a bit rough, but we also get into, you know, direct solutions that we can take and community action responses. So I do think it's quite important, and I would love if you guys stuck around to the end. We promise it's worth it. We love you. Thanks for listening.
Change your mind. I'm the squishing mind. Baby, don't you see? Take a squish on me. Gonna do my very best. And it ain't no lie. Gonna squish you to the test. Gonna let you dry. Take a squish on me.
You're so funny. I forgot how to do that.
Hello, welcome back to Squish.
Yeah, welcome back, homies.
Today, it's just me, Tasha, and...
Katie. We're hanging out.
We're just hanging out. And I just wanted to do something easy today, because we're booking people. Mm-hmm. Like, people, I feel like, in my community that inspire me, the second words out of my mouth are, you should come on our podcast.
Yeah, I have a list of people, too, that are like, yeah, and they're down. Like, everyone is stoked and down, and I keep getting messages from friends that are into it and excited. I just got a message earlier from my buddy Derry that we used to do the Blender Nights at Lucky Bar with.
Cool.
The Wednesday night shows that I would always talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just messaged me and he was like, this is so cool. I love that it's happening. Miss you. And I haven't replied yet, but my reply is going to include you should come on the podcast.
It's literally my default response right now. And it feels really grounding because it's, okay, cool. I'm not going to lose the chance to like check in with some of these connections because I have built this container where it's let's do an intentional chat and like I want to make these people feel valued and it's I've already got that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to add a new thing into my life. It's like you're free on Tuesdays because we do this on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. Yeah, like we had someone reach out
and if you're not free on Tuesday, we'll make it work.
We'll make it work. We'll wiggle. We'll squish you in.
We'll squish you in. We're squishing Danny in on the Sundays.
Yeah, we've had lots of people reach out with some really nice feedback.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. Appreciate the feedback. And even the people just being like, I listen to it. That's awesome. That's cool for us.
It's very validating.
Nice to know that people want to listen to our nonsense.
Yeah, it's very validating because it's the new year now, and I've had a lot of people reach out about different new ideas they want to start, and I'm like, honestly, no.
Yeah.
I'm so
a good lesson to
committed to this. And I'm just feeling really good about it.
It's nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have something that you're just like really excited on and committed to and wanting to work on that you're like, no, this is cool. I want this to be the focus. And yeah, there's some things that I already know I have on the horizon that I want to put more investment into that I wasn't able to last year. So it's like I want to focus on those and pick and choose the other things that I want to do. And there's a thing that I'm leaving time for because I know that if I fill the time then I will never actually get doing the thing.
It's a beautiful
so
thing.
So it's no
yourself.
Even though I can't do that thing right now, that time still needs to stay there.
And that's
it's writing time for now.
That's doing things already. Even if it's not actually being done, just leaving mental space for it is like an act of commitment for that thing. Yeah, it's an investment. Another reason I wanted to like just check in you and I is because I feel okay, every podcast I've listened to in the last week, so today is like January something. This is like the 8th.
It's the
It's
Wednesday. The 8th, yes, because yesterday was my mom's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, mama.
Mm-hmm.
But every single podcast is like 2025, what to do to be a better
you because you
new
suck.
Year, new me. Near you, that. New year, new ways to hate myself.
Exactly. And then also, like, week before was all best of 2024. So we're stuck in this.
Dude, I feel like I started hearing it in November with lock in. Everybody lock in. I'm like, oh my God, calm down.
That's not my kink. Okay.
No. And as someone who grew up with just so much toxic health, fitness, diet culture, yep. surgery culture, expecting to cram it all into one window of time is just not healthy or smart.
And I also feel very pulled. I feel very pulled out of the present because everyone's, okay, we're going to reflect on the whole year. And then we're immediately thinking about planning your entire next year. And it's, what about right now? Where am I right now? And no one's talking about that in a way that, like, I feel related to. And I've just been doing a couple of check-ins with people in my life that are like, are you aware of what's happening in our world? Because I think in Christmas and holidays, we go a little numb to it. And I've just been doing some reflecting on, no, like, I just mostly, my goal for the year is to not think about the year. It's just to be in the moment that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted to do today. It's mm-hmm. just like, where are we at right now? And that's okay to talk about. We don't have to, like, always be goal-oriented, vastly goal-oriented, and pull you out of your fucking mindset.
Yeah, people get so stuck in the, okay, let me reflect on the highlights of the year and also pick apart everything I did horrible in the year, and then how am I going to not be that person? But that's not, doesn't fix nothing.
It's like comparing.
And that's just, yeah, it's, if you're consistently waiting for your life to measure up to something or someone, or to hit some achievement so you'll finally feel good about yourself or whatever, that's just not going to lead to anything good.
No.
And then, like, it's all about enjoying the process of the here and now. Like, nothing that I ever did every single year when I would leave the end of school year and be like, by the beginning of next year, I'm going to come back a different person and I won't be bullied or whatever, then they won't, I'll be so much better me, blah blah blah. And then you try to cram all these things into one summer thinking that it's just going to change your life like a movie, and it doesn't. And then you come back and you're like, then it just sets you up for this crushing, like, thing. So it's just like, you gotta, and you also miss enjoying that whole window of time,
exactly,
because you're just obsessing in unhealthy ways on how to make your next window
and
of time better.
People put so much pressure on this one temporal period of the year. It's like New Year's or
not
die.
Even when the new year starts in spring.
I heard a cool thing on a podcast today that was like, it was still, like, from this kind of mildly toxic headspace of self-improvement, constant self-improvement. But it's, if you do want to actually achieve these things, don't just do it once a year. Make mini milestones throughout. Make important dates.
Well, that's the healthy way to do it.
Or anniversaries, or constant check-ins with where you're at. Because I do think it's important to invest in yourself and care about.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with wanting to continuously improve yourself, but it's just, you just have to do things in a healthy, sustainable way.
Yeah.
There's, I personally love the idea of thinking about, I think more about, sorry, I'm just sliding off this futon a little bit. I think more about life changes around my birthday, I think, personally, than I do around New Year's, because it is the new year of my life.
Yeah.
So that's technically sometimes when I will think more about those kind of life changes and things like that. But it's just, I don't know, I feel like people put way too much pressure and emphasis on trying to transform themselves in the most depressing months of the year. Your seasonal depression is the hardest. It's a dark time of year. The holidays are tough for people and they are depressing AF. And so I think it's totally, definitely a risky time to put that much pressure on yourself to try to, like, new year, new me, all your problems away.
As everyone else is doing it around you too. And everyone's got bigger goals and bigger things, and people whose lives might be miles, quote unquote, better, whatever you want to call that, that you're comparing yourself to already, they're looking back and they want to change more things. And it's just that constant state of comparison is always looking at what isn't there. And I'm just, like, so much, I guess my biggest lesson from the year is just, like, focusing on what I do have. And I want to just take that moving forward into the next year. So I was thinking, and I told Katie this already, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let you guys in on my little idea today.
In on the secret.
Which was, I want, okay, for starters, for context, Katie and I, we look really good right now. We got fucking dolled up because we took some cute ass squish photos. And I just love getting all dolled up and feeling really good for myself and just for being with a friend and just for our art and for our creativity. But I was thinking, okay, I want to check in with the present. I fucking look really cute. You look really cute. I want to go on a first date with you right now. And I want to basically check in with us as people, because we're getting really excited about all these ideas and all these other people and other things we want to bring into this podcast. But I feel like we haven't really done a deep dive. We did a little bit of an intro on our first episode, but I feel like we could easily just like never really touch in on who we are. We talk a lot about our experiences as they come up through the lens of what we're talking about. But I find it really interesting when I'm listening to a podcast to know who I'm listening to and to know what they're going through right then and there, because it just makes me feel like I'm even more engaged with their current mental state. So I'm putting it out there to you and to me to be like, what if we didn't know anything about each other and we had to completely explain like who we were in this present time right now? What is interesting to you right now? What are things that are occupying your brain right now? And also not a big pressure situation, because I just wanted to have a chill episode and here I am like over organizing and structuring it.
It's gonna be so simple.
And it's gonna be so simple. But yeah, I feel like I just want to spitball with you and just help share with people who are listening
on the first date. Whoa.
To Squish, who might be listening to it for a bunch of different reasons, but might not really know who one of us or both of us really are. Because I don't know, the more I'm like checking in with my present, the more I'm like checking in with all this bullshit comparison culture, I'm just really grateful and proud of myself right now. And I like who I am. I like the things I'm doing with my time. I like the people I'm surrounding myself with. And I want to share that. And I don't want to get ahead of myself and miss that. And I like who you are.
Oh, shit. But I thought you didn't know me. Well, I'm just a stranger in your
life. But I like how you look. That's all I need to know. It's all that matters to me, baby.
Oh, you're cute.
Yeah, I'm all down to get into the brain, the meat and the potatoes, if you will.
The meat and the potatoes as meat Isaac potatoes. Cooks a bunch of meat in the kitchen.
He is cooking a bowl of beef.
And, a bowl of beef.
And hunching over his iron pan.
My precious bowl of beef. Precious.
So that was just a ramble because I want you guys to know who we are, because we're fucking bad bitches and we're doing a lot of cool things and it's worth celebrating. What do you think is worth celebrating about Katie right now?
That's a good question. I'm definitely celebrating working on this stuff. It's been really fun. It's been like, and just like getting over the like hump of getting back into dealing with software and stuff, because I just would always hit these frustrating technical walls when I was dealing with Ableton that would drive me insane. And now, and a lot of the times too, sometimes things can go, like, when you unplug everything and take it with you to record somewhere else and set it up, sometimes it doesn't always just immediately do what you want it to when you set it up. So I'm celebrating the fact that this process has actually gotten easier and that I feel confident in doing it, because it's always an area that I've felt less than confident in. So it's been really nice, yeah, dealing with that and getting better at the software and being able to play around and edit more. And I've also been getting caught up on a lot of things, which feels nice, because that's another thing, is there's so much pressure to keep taking on new things that it's really easy to sometimes let other things get backed up, backlogged. And so I really enjoy having the time through the winter months to sometimes catch up on things. So that's been nice. And yeah, just I've been celebrating like the improvement of the skill sets, like just really like being happy that some of those skill sets are improving, and you know, being able to put more time into certain things that I'm passionate about, and also just getting better at saying no to things and people. Like sometimes it's really
yes, no,
yes to the no.
I love the like the little comfort window that comes with this uncomfortable time of the year, and like the reset that does happen is important. I just don't think it's fair to us to just burden ourselves with only looking at what we're not. And yeah, the way that you showed up for this podcast, and like we both basically the second week of starting this podcast bought entirely new computers. we like immediately invested on better gear.
That was the thing. It was like I knew I needed a new computer.
Yeah.
And I was just putting it off because I was just like, there's this reason and that reason why it's a priority. But at the same time, I was like convincing myself it wasn't as much of a priority. And then I was like, fuck it. I need it to be able to. I was feeling like shitty in a lot of ways too.
Mm.
And so it was like
stagnant.
It was nice to get that off my list. And that led to not only being able to dive into this more, but being able to catch up on some of the things I was wanted to catch up on was editing photos that I had a backlog of. I've been feeling really good about that, and my executive function for certain things that just wasn't existent before is like a little better now for sure.
Cool.
So that's like a fun thing to celebrate.
Yeah. Do you think it's just from having the time to focus on it?
Yeah, and just figuring out what works for certain things and just hacking my own brain in ways. It helps me to have multiple things that I'm working on, because then instead of stopping working on one thing to just be distracted by something, I'm like, I'll use working on another thing as a distraction, which
that's
is
impressive.
Sometimes people think is a bad thing, because we do that thing where you're like, look at all the stuff I got done, and then someone's like, yeah, but what about that thing that's due tomorrow? Oof. You did all these things to procrastinate that thing. So I'm like, well, using that ADHD thing to my favor by making the distractions other things that need to get done. So I'll jump between like doing the like record keeping and stuff for my like grant stuff, and then editing things or whatnot.
Yeah.
And just like
self-admin is such sexy self-care, like little self-admin days. I don't get enough of them, and I'm really grateful for when I can wake up and use my morning energy brain for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to do that. It's hard to find that when you work full time. But no, I'm really happy to hear that it's regulating. It's balancing. It's not like a crazy right now.
Yeah, all over the place, but it's been leveled off a little bit, which is good.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, what about you? What are you celebrating currently?
I think I'm in that too, where basically ever since this woman read my palms in the Oak Bay Rec hot tub, she gave me an impromptu palm reading and just kept congratulating me on my lifestyle. She was like, good job on the lifestyle. And I was like, oh, like that really landed with me, because I was like, I didn't know I needed as much validation. But basically 2 years ago, I quit my like full-time career-based marketing job to... First of all, I just started landscaping, and then I have been nannying. I've been taking care of these two kids full time for over a year and a half-ish now. And that's not a career job for me, but it's given me all of this mental capacity outside of that job to do career things just for myself, which is terrifying. It's the complete opposite of what they tell you need to do. They're like, use your 9-to-5 energy to hustle for your career, and then all your time like outside of that is for you. But then... Yeah. I'm in this weird situation where what I like to do is my hobbies. Like technically they are the things that I would do outside of work anyways, but I wasn't like giving myself enough creative energy being in like a full-time 9-to-5 creative job to do any of them.
Yeah.
And then I fucking quit that. I was like,
it will suck the life out of you.
These people don't get my creative juice. I get my creative juice.
Yeah.
And then my 9-to-5 is just hanging out with these kids that just ground me and keep me so centered.
Well, and they let
present.
You play all day too sometimes, and be silly and get outside if
and
you
I'm
need to.
I'm just
yeah.
taking care of them and giving them love, and they give me love back, and they give me fucking headaches, but it's worth it, and I love them so much, and it's just this beautiful symbiosis relationship. But it's really it's not the normal route, I think, as someone would take.
It's funny though
right
how
now.
Many singers/artists I know that do end up in childcare as their other thing, because
really
because it fits well with the life, or because it just suits their personality and whatnot. Hi, Isaac. You beef.
Are you bringing me food?
Look at he's brought you a bowl of beef. How cute!
Oh,
this is his little gremlin ways.
He's brought me a bowl of beef.
So cute.
Thanks, sweetie. Yeah, I think there's just been like a really interesting validation thing. And then I was listening to a podcast the other day that was saying, you know, you could try so many different skills that you think are the job that you need to do and fail at them, or you could look at what you're already good at and put all of that effort, consolidate it into what your strengths already are, and make that your living. And
That's what I feel like I'm doing. Is I'm a social motherfucker. I want to make
a lot of. There's a lot of. Like I said, there's a lot of artists that actually have either stumbled into it or it made sense to balance it out, where they're either like teaching in the school system and making art, like Murgatroyd or whatever. Or you got Stevie Wise in Vancouver, who's a nanny by day. Niska started Rockstar Kids because she was like nannying and doing music lessons for kids, and she does this amazing program going around to the different reserves and stuff and doing these cool programs with kids. And it's just, yeah, it's like a lot of people, and I one of my things I do on the side is taking care of Tyler's kids.
It's so validating to hear this.
It's something that just, it does seem to fit well with that lifestyle. Plus it allows the flexibility of, especially in my case too, where like I don't take on a full-time nannying gig because I want to be able to pick and choose and keep focus on the other things that I'm doing. Where I can fit it in part time. There's always, and the more my friends have babies, the more there's always nanny
cha-ching! Work. Cha-ching! Every baby, you're just like, that's a paycheck,
care.
Baby.
There's childcare work gonna be around because all y'all keep popping out children. And it's just, it is smart though too, because children inspire creativity more than they suck it out of you.
They also, it's like they, soul work.
You might
work.
Be tired at the end of the day for sure, because they do take the energy from you. But they, when they force you, weird inspirations.
To be patient and to be kind and model the behaviors that like you want to see in them, that's just enforcing those behaviors in you, which just makes you kinder and more patient and understanding. Like I almost lost it on my little guy today because he was like, I don't want to wear this pair of pants. And I was like, hey, want to wear this one? Yes. And then I start putting them on. He's like, I don't want to wear these ones. I'm going to wear those ones.
Really, you just don't want to wear pants.
Switched. We know. Seven times. I know. And I get it, babe. I get it.
Guess what?
Nobody wants to wear pants.
I don't want to wear pants ever.
But I did this parent chill move that my dad said that he would do with us when we were little, which is you just scoop him up and you take him outside and you just get him to change temperature. He's in a t-shirt and underwear, and I've just got him in my lap outside. It's a January morning, but his temper tantrum was so hard and hot that he was just out of control, and I just watched him like slowly self-regulate in the cool temperature with me, and I was like, it's okay, we're gonna press pause until you are ready to continue with your morning. And it helped me chill the fuck out.
I've been using the cold dip method for years to like regulate my nervous system, and
it's
I also have when I have trouble sleeping because of like anxiety, I'll just take an ice pack to bed and just hug an ice pack for a little while
on that vagal nerve in the center of the chest. But it's just
roll around. Children, it's also nice for perpetually having a cold under the side of the pillow.
Yeah.
You flip the pillow, it's always cold.
That's smart. And I've just been reflecting a lot on the last year because I've been with him for a year. And you like watch them like when I met him and he was like 1.5 and now he's turning 3 on Friday. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole new person. Like he is double the person that when I met him, and I'm fully in love with this child. And this is my job, is just to be in love with you. And today we were like at the Oak Bay Rec Center, and they have the cafe upstairs, and there's this big dance floor under all the tables and chairs, and they slowly started clearing all the
tables and chairs. Events happen there, and
it's not a bad event spot.
I didn't even realize they had a dance floor.
You can rent it as long as you're okay with your event smelling like chlorine. It's fucking bomb.
You're up around pools.
And yeah, so they like clear it all out because I think they're having like a sports night, and they start playing like a sports bar.
You said sports like
sports
that.
Night. Yeah, no, I'm not a sports girly clearly anymore. But my little girl sees this dance floor, and she's almost 6 years old, and she's getting really into like ballet. So she like runs out into the dance floor and just immediately knows it's time for her to dance. She's this is my space to do it. And the little brother follows her, and I was like, hell yeah, we're doing this. And it's like a middle of the day, like cafe crowd, people are working on their laptops, people are like chatting over tea, and me and these two kids are fully like barefoot on this dance floor at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I've just put Tchaikovsky like on my phone, and we're just twirling in circles, we're like doing like pirouettes, and I'm like swinging them around, and I just was like, I don't care what anyone thinks about me in this space except these kids. And I was just like, this is so
freedom, you know?
I know. And I was like, I want them to know that it's okay even as an adult to just be completely free and open to the moment, whatever the fuck it brings you. And it was really funny, especially when I was like laying a starfish in the middle of the ground, and like someone's like ordering a coffee like 5 feet away from me, and I'm like, I am still in public, but this is the best.
I love that. I keep forgetting they have a little cafe in there. I should just work there sometime.
It's pretty cute, and they've got free Wi-Fi. But all that to say, I get to spend my 9 to 5 hanging out with these wonderful kiddos, working for a wonderful family that respects me more than any marketing or full-time like advertising job ever did. And then I'm spending my evenings and weekends like building this network and portfolio of projects with people that inspire me, that are going to feed into my long-term goals. So it doesn't feel like it's just like a temporary thing. It feels long-term. And I'm just really proud of that. And I got my not-for-profit name approved today, yesterday.
Sick. So that's great.
The Totally Together Collective Art Society, which just feels really fucking awesome and grounding. And then I'm going to finish that application. I'm going to have a full-ass not-for-profit that I'm running. And we're running because you're so cool. Part of it too. And yeah,
so cool.
Feels really fucking cool.
I'm excited for it.
Feels scary.
Like it's nice. I'm excited to be part of it and see what happens with it all. I know it's one of those things where it's like taking on those big things can be scary, and those big life goals, you're like, oh shit. Oh my God.
It does feel like I'm pregnant. Yeah. I'm in a very grateful place, and the gratitude helps me override the fact that I have a lot of chronic fucking pain going on in my life right now, and a lot of insomnia as a result, because I have nerve pain in my neck and my back from moving the fucking piano into this apartment, which was worth it, but ooh, I was dumb about it. That's been a bit of a burden.
Yes, I remember the video of you guys having it stuck in the doorway. That was really funny.
This is our new door.
This is the door now. It just lives in the doorway. Yeah, I feel you. I deal with chronic pain as well, and occasional bouts of insomnia. And it hadn't bothered me for a long time, this insomnia thing. And then recently, the holidays always throw me off.
Yes.
But I was extra thrown off this time around, where I was just like, fucking could not. I've been like up till 5, like maybe falling asleep at 6 or whatever for like a couple hours. And then just, or like when I finally fall asleep, I would just be dead and sleeping in too late. And then feeling like it's dark again immediately.
Yeah.
Cause you're like, you don't want to waking up at noon on a summer day feels one way, but like waking up on a winter day, it's so great. The sun like just
disappears. I have 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's like the core thing to self-care, actually, is sleep. It's like what everyone talks about all the time, and every time someone brings it up, I'm like, shut up.
Sleep cycles.
I know.
It's the same though. I find I don't always have my most productive energy first thing in the morning. Sometimes it comes later for me in the day, but. And I have lots of good late night energy for productivity, but that's not always conducive to existing in the rest of the world.
No.
So that can be tough for sure.
Yeah. I don't know how much of those rhythms are within our control either, but
no,
I have
to deal with it.
I think like how you deal with your ADHD, I have actually had to short circuit my brain to really reeling in the anxiety around bedtime, and just being terrified the second I go to sleep or try to go to sleep, because I like,
the part of your brain is, oh, am I actually gonna
this
sleep?
Is the thing that hurts me.
I need to sleep. I know I need sleep, but am I gonna sleep?
So I've got some like deep mind games going on where it's like it requires a long like foreplay around the bed, and
like a whole like
being,
getting ready for the bed session.
The sleep hygiene is a next level, and I highly recommend taking it seriously because it does work, but it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, I find guided meditations or just audiobook, certain types of audiobooks will put me to sleep. It has to be the right person, like voice, and the right sounding voice and stuff that will make a difference.
Just in the subject of sleeping meditations, a friend of mine listens to a serial podcast.
I fall asleep
bed.
To serial killer shit, yeah.
Not serial killers, literal cereal. It's a cereal, like the food review podcast.
Someone eats
this
cereal?
This guy eats and reviews different kinds of cereal.
I couldn't fall asleep to the sound of someone eating cereal.
I don't know if he's eating it in the episode, but he goes into like great detail talking about cereal.
Someone's like chomping on. That would just make me hungry. I would just want to eat. I'd want to get up and eat a bowl of cereal.
When
and
she
not,
told me
like,
that, I was
like, fucking granola.
Okay.
I'd be like, okay, this guy makes me want to eat some Cap'n Crunch or some shit.
I know, and he gets sent all of these unique off-brand, like, one-of-a-kind Cap'n Crunch, like, Twizzler edition and shit like
that.
Fuck? Yeah, like...
Sounds like a niche.
It's a total
he's
niche.
This guy just secretly loves cereal and just really wanted...
Oh, I don't think it's a secret.
Cereal, so he's just like... This is how I get it. I'm just going to start this thing where I do only cereal, and then they'll send me all the things.
And I'm not going to knock it till I try it. I should really listen to it. Sometimes I can take that
it's
stuff.
It's crazy what companies will send people and shit. I'm just watching this random dude who's just like, he's like, I'm going to be a beauty influencer. They get all this stuff. And look at this lady in this apartment. She's looking at a high rise in New York. Like, I'm going to be a beauty influencer. How do you do it? And he's like a comedian, but he just started deciding he was going to try to be a beauty influencer. And he started just flirting with brands in the Instagram comments and like making these TikTok videos about where he just keeps like saying this the same word over and over again in this one product that he has. And it worked though. Like brands just started sending him shit, and now
he was willing to sell his soul to capitalism.
It's so ridiculous, and I'm like, this is really all it takes. Is you just and then, but just the amount of stuff that exists out in the world now is so crazy to me, because there's just the ASMR like videos of like people just restocking like things that they don't need. There's just like. Just stuff on stuff.
Just and the I'm content.
Like, it's crazy.
The people were like, the second it become became commodified, people just need. It just became so saturated. Like the content became commodified.
Which then is like and more, the algorithms. Even then the consumerism just shoots up because everyone's so, buying these things.
It's actually a bit grotesque. And
it's crazy.
I'm really grateful that there are elements of my algorithms and my like TikTok algorithm specifically that has kept me on an educational side of TikTok that's not about fashion or not anything against fashion, but just like fast fashion and just like things to buy and sell and things that are being reviewed. Because you can get sucked into that because it's really captivating to hear something that worked.
And you can teach your algorithm whatever, but they'll still pop up those random like ASMR sorting videos and you're like, what is it? And then if you look too long just out of morbid curiosity, then they'll show you more. That's my problem is I'm like, what are all these things? Like, why? And
I'm like, I know. What is I have to resist for? That.
And I'm then like, I'm like, now it's going to think I want to watch this video about Stanley straw toppers, which I don't. I just didn't know what the fuck it was. And it took me too long to realize what it was. Now the algorithm thinks I want to see it. So now I saw 30 different attachments for a Stanley cup that just none of them made any sense.
This reminds me of another point that I wanted to make. In this episode. So, I made...
You want a thing you can eat stuff out of on top of your cup? That it?
What? Yeah. That's what that is?
There's a it's straw like, topper that it's like a trough. Keeps it from getting into your thing. But then there's it's like a trough. A circular trough people put around the top of their Stanley and then they put stuff in it. And as an accident-prone ADHDer, you just made this whole thing top-heavy. So isn't it going to fall over? But like they have little, like a kid's bowl has compartments for things. It has compartments. So they put, and sometimes these people who stock them put things in them that don't make any sense. And they're like, they're huge. And I'm like, why? And this is why the algorithm thinks I want these things.
This is why you don't go to sleep until 5 in the morning. It's because
my brain wants to know why people do these things. My brain is, I don't get it. If you and why you put something that don't fit in there. I don't know. But yeah, it's literally that's a trough for your Stanley mug. And I don't understand. People will, there's things I understand, like buying and reviewing, but there's so much I just don't understand.
The fascination, right? The curiosity is just, it's unfortunately quite preyed upon, but that curiosity, I do love her. And she does keep me like trying to like figure cool, interesting, weird shit out. And I do love TikTok for that because it's like, there's
I love
so
the education.
Many
I love
people
seeing,
out
seeing
there
the stories
wanting
of people
to
around
learn.
The world. I love seeing how creative people put things together and like put their art together and people who upcycle like the craziest things into art.
And people who just are thinking like about our world and trying to understand it critically. And just when I find like an interesting thinker, I'm just like, I just want to like get a new perspective and just surround myself with creative, curious minds. Maybe this is part of the reason why I love you is because you do want to figure out why the fuck they're like putting the stupid snacks at the top of their water bottle when there's a lunch, perfectly good lunchbox for that.
I mean,
but
I'm a snacker, but I don't need snacks so badly that they got to be attached to the thing I'm drinking out of.
It's a trough. Like it's a trough.
There's a TikTok for everything, and there's many sides of TikTok.
Maybe not for long, though, because it's getting banned in the States. And honestly, so many of the amazing creators.
Because they don't like how quickly the news can spread via TikTok. They can't control the news that gets out there.
Okay, this is the next point that I want to make is I had this conversation with my friend on... It also tagged into the conversation we had with Eleanor, which was about our generation getting involved in our local politics and how
TikTok got people involved.
It got people involved, but we like normalized being quite passively disconnected with our politics, specifically Canadians. We know more about motherfuckers' water bottle habits celebrity lifestyles or, God forbid, American politics than we do about Canadian politics or about our own cities.
Yeah, American politics are shoved in our face a lot, too.
So everything is. And there's this weird complacency within our generation as young Canadians. And I made a poll about this and I was like,
watch out. If Trump gets his way, we'll be the 51st state. I don't want that at all. At least, but touring would be easier.
At least.
No more passport to cross the border.
If I could earn American money, I wouldn't be that mad. We're on an island, thank God.
Would we still be under the Canadian dollar, or would they switch to American dollar?
I hope we did at least get one bonus.
But I mean, I was thinking of you wouldn't need passports to go across the border anymore, which is that you could just go tour and you wouldn't need a
This is my point. But it's so easy to get sucked in.
That's not enough reason for me to be okay with it. Don't want it at all.
And I just mean in general about the dialogue.
I'm just kidding.
And it's like our prime minister resigned yesterday.
Yeah.
And
we saw that.
I
see that. I see it. The thing is, too, is there's just so many people who just are like blanket, like full personality, fuck Trudeau. And then, so it's like, I feel like you're just gonna.
I think everyone's just like, fuck
like, I don't
politics
know.
Right now.
Yeah, there's one. Yeah, they, I feel like sometimes
and I get
it's
that.
Like, I'm over talking about politics because people talk about it so much. And
oh, me too.
They talk about like American politics during our own elections and everyone's, no one's actually talking about the politics. They're talking about the celebrity of politics. So they're talking about Justin Trudeau's personality.
Yes.
They're talking about Trudeau as an idea, as a person. A lot of the people who say fuck Trudeau, they dislike him for reasons they don't even understand. But I think that it's like, we're just getting all this stuff where it's, I don't know, we're talking
we
about.
We create these idols and then make them need to be perfect just like celebrities.
Yeah, but no one talks about what needs to change. They just talk about the fact that they either want or didn't want Trudeau to resign.
Exactly.
Or they want or don't want Paul Levesque. But no one is talking about like what Canada actually needs.
The people, the system itself.
It's part of like our actual change.
Have you heard?
All right, pals. Here's another one. Another little clip of a wonderful, talented local scene pal. This pick is from the New Souls album. Greg Bomb Eagle John and the gang made a sick album, and it's still in my regular rotation, so I hope you like this tune. If you like what you hear, Greg is available to hire for coaching, and he also plays with a bunch of bands down doing the cover circuit at the pubs downtown, so go support them. And like we said before, if you're interested in sharing your tunes with us, having us share your tunes with other people, let us know, hit us up, show us what you got going on, and we would love to support more local pals. Thanks. Here is You're My Kind of Perfect.
I'm in love with a woman who barely knows my name. Now I know that's not her fault. I'm just too shy to say you're kind of perfect. The way you laugh just starts me up. And you're kind of perfect. But when I think about you, I get to feel it.
We've got a creeper. Do you want to make a point about this? Because it's something I want to talk about. And I think, Isaac, you're beautifully passionate about this stuff. And I think what I'm trying to get at is I understand why people don't give a shit. I understand why people are burnt out by politics.
Yeah, and if people, even if they give a shit, they're just a little.
But I want to figure out a way to stay engaged. Talking to people like you helps me stay engaged because I appreciate your perspective on it, because you tie it into shit like ancient civilization, ancient human culture, and
like
the human nature part of it.
I like following historians. I like listening to historians talk about it, and I like listening to minorities talk about it. Listen to the indigenous people talking about the political stuff that has affected their spaces and stuff, but particularly historians, because they're like one of the things you see most is everyone is just, everyone that studies ancient history is like, everybody pay the fuck attention. It's literally a pattern repeating itself. It's just civilizations fall, and before civilizations fall, all of this kind of shit happens. So it's basically, we're imploding ourselves.
Canadian politics are shockingly drab, and I have a certain appreciation for that, because I feel like it enables a little bit more of a lens on the policy side of things rather than the personality side of things, usually. Mm-hmm. Although there are exceptions, especially
lately, it's been a lot of a personality thing.
Yeah, but it's also frustrating because it seems like our politicians don't try at all.
It does seem like that a lot of the time.
I was listening to an interview with, I want to say Poilievre.
Yeah, I don't think that's how anybody says his name.
Everybody says Poliev or something like that.
Pisspan. I think I said Poliver. Poliev, Poliver. I don't know. I don't actually know how to say his last name.
He's certainly had an interesting effect because his, like, a lot of his voter base seems to be comprised of young people, which tells you that something is very different this election cycle than anything in the past. But I was listening to Jordan Peterson interview him, and I was hoping that he would have something interesting and maybe fresh to say, because I've noticed that a lot of the politicians who are not on the, how do I say this? There's a lot of politicians who seem to be coming up with kind of new ideas. There's some fresh stuff on the table at this point. There's like Javier Milei in Argentina, mm-hmm. who's a friggin' anarchist mm-hmm. in the presidency. Mm-hmm. And there's Trump, who's an insane wackadoodle, but definitely different. But Poilievre,
he's definitely different.
Yeah, I think people voted for him because of his difference and almost nothing else. Because it was just like,
I think a lot of people did too. Yeah,
the friggin' hell out of this weird system that we live in.
And because he was a TV personality, it provided this sense of a polysocial relationship that people, a parasocial relationship that people already felt they had with him from watching him over the years.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big deal for sure. But unfortunately, Poilievre, rather than being revolutionary or interesting in any way, just regurgitated the same conservative talking points that I've heard since the days of Harper and Ignatieff.
Yeah.
Which is insane, unfortunately.
Yeah, where is he getting his interest?
I think he's just getting his interest because there's a contingent of young people that are just feeling less tied to socialism and to the left.
Yeah, they're trying to, like, wrangle the votes of the people who aren't on the left. And also, there's a lot of influence from the Christian lobbyists and stuff. There's Canada has a lot of these Christian-based, like, universities that their mission is to put as many people in political seats as possible. I, like, read about this whole thing with the Trinity Christian College, like, years ago, where their whole thing was they wanted to put as many people in politics so that they can,
like, a religious lobbyist kind of
correct Canada's misguided ways. Like, they want us to be more Christian, more have better values or whatever. That's always the pitch. I swear totally all the time.
You just gotta hold the mic closer to your mouth.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. Is this better? Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know how to use microphones. I'm a saxophonist, not a speaker or singer. Unlike you two who have lovely voices and know how to use microphones.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's tough. It's difficult. And there's a lot of those kids that they're listening to or following the Jordan Petersons and the Andrew Tates of the world, and those people who, like, maybe don't have the healthiest view to be imparting on the younger generations, but they say these talking points that, like, reel them in. And so then they're primed to be looking for someone to regurgitate similar talking points. And so then they're like, that's where...
Yeah, and because there's so much complacency too, like, no one's talking about it because we're all burnt out and we're too scared to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, these are the people who are talking about it. So that's why I want us to get more involved in this shit as much as it hurts, as boring as it is. Because if those are the only motherfuckers talking about it and those are the only people we're looking out to, and if there is a young voter base voting for people like Poilievre, then fucking, that says something spooky. And it's because people like, in my opinion, Trudeau and anyone on the left trying to be left but also very centrist, trying to just be as even keeled as possible and just not ruffle any feathers and mm-hmm. just not really get anything done while our world around us needs really intense help. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're just going to go along. Now, I'm not going to say he didn't do anything, but just that bullshit complacency where it's like, you are a talking Muppet, just like, well, no offense, Kamala thing. Or Biden, like, they're yeah. all kind of representing yeah. the same.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't relate to you because I live in a really intensely changing world and you don't seem to have any sense of urgency about anything.
That intensely changing world of burnout that we inhabit is something that I will say Polyev has got his finger on the pulse of, because he correctly identified the feelings and the emotions that a lot of people who aren't boomers and older millennials are experiencing these days. And I think that as much as I disagree with his solutions and with his stance, and also have just a blatant disregard for his lack of personality.
He got you with identifying a feeling.
He...
Not got you, but...
I think it's a step in the right direction to actually acknowledge that there's a problem.
Yeah.
Because most of the politicians in the world are not even willing to go as far as acknowledging that there is a serious issue. Now, he fell short because instead of going to actual real solutions, he just went to the old thing that our conservative party does, which is say, well, liberals are having a party and now it's time for the conservatives to step up and
clean yeah, but that's the thing is that's also what why Trump was able to wrangle so many voters is because he came at it with this language and with saying he identified problems, even though he had zero intention of fixing them.
Exactly.
He was able to identify the feeling of the middle class, middle America, and talk to them and somehow convince them he was one of them, even though mm-hmm. he's like lofty, he's rich
elite.
Motherfucker.
They're all elites.
But the thing is, he did that. He was able, it's the social manipulation of learn the language of the people you're looking to talk to. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's the same trick religions used to convert people. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, you mm-hmm. come in, you become part one, become part of the community, tell you're one of them, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. tell them you have the solution to make their life better, and then they follow you. And really, you don't have any solutions to make their life better. You just want all the number for your power, and that's the thing. So I'm like, these
and Polyev is the same.
Is the same. He's doing this thing where he's doing the same tactic of I have the language to identify your problem, and yeah it's a problem, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend it's not a problem, but am I going to fix it? And a lot of people are missing the part where it's, you're not going to fix it, or how are you going to fix it? It's just, they're just happy someone's identified mm-hmm. that there's a problem. Mm-hmm. And it's, but that's again, a repeating pattern, because mm-hmm. like, we've been identifying the problem of a lack of clean water on indigenous reserves forever, mm-hmm. but have we fixed it? No. Mm-hmm. And Trudeau talked a lot about the non-drinking water, non-clean water in places, but did he fix it? No.
He fucked all that up.
So that's the thing, is these politicians will always do that. They'll always find a way to come to whoever they need the votes from and say, hey, I know what you're struggling with. And the thing is, and mm-hmm. I think that's that for some of us, like myself, is like seeing that I'm being manipulated makes me immediately uninterested. Yeah, I want to like vote and make my vote count and whatever, but I would like to just see someone's actual platform and not the manipulation that they're using to get the
votes. Well, the platforms are out there. The platforms are out there. You can look it up on the website, but
no,
they're
but
also
I mean,
totally
like, they're
incidental
real
because
sometimes
they have
they,
absolutely
I mean. They don't
no incentive.
They're not actually
they have
gonna,
absolutely
yeah.
no incentive
yeah.
to actually fix the problems
yeah.
because they are involved in a recursive loop with the elite corporations. Mm-hmm. They
well,
are the
where
people,
the funding is
they,
coming from.
Stuff,
yeah.
They exit politics and they go straight into business, or they exit business and they go straight into politics. Mm-hmm. And whether they're on the left or the right, it is their job to make sure that we're busy thinking that our feelings are being taken care of, but seeing absolutely no action done so they can continue extracting wealth from our communities.
Yeah.
And ignore the problem, which is the friggin' corporate global financial economy.
Yeah, they're consistently going to put the thing on
the economic superorganism.
Yeah, they're going to continually put the problem on something else, but really there a lot of problems would be solved by the redistribution of some fucking wealth that's all clustered in one place.
Yeah. And I also find myself just starting to want to tune out all of my forms of entertainment because nobody's talking about politics and nobody mm-hmm. wants to get involved with any of this. Like mm-hmm. a lot of the American podcasts that I want to listen to are completely like they refuse to like, oh, well, we'll go there. And it's why not? You have this huge platform where you could open at least a discussion, and that discussion helps us build the tools so that we can start unpacking these issues and understand how we can relate to them and actually deal with them. The more we stay ignorant, the more they continue with these mm-hmm. infinite loops of fucking shit storms.
So tied to identity and to us and them yeah. attitudes, which is a result of the personality politics Katie was talking about. Mm-hmm. The appeal to the language, but not to solving the problem, results in people feeling like this kinship with the politicians that they root for. And then anybody who doesn't root for the same person is dangerous.
And this is why I'm going to vote green, because I don't give a shit about any of the people anymore. I just want to have a planet to live on. But this isn't a political podcast.
But at least you know that that's like the main mission there. That's the thing, is like a lot of the politicians, you don't see their main mission. You just see a smokescreen, right? Or at least yeah. you're seeing that the green just wants to do that, at least.
Yeah, or that they're talking about something other than my identity. They're talking yeah. about
other than where, yeah, exactly. Other than what bathroom.
How do we continue to exist as a species?
And then making it a battle for my uterus, which I was over that too. Like
nobody, I want your uterus. Ain't nobody can $10,000, $14,000.
Ain't nobody can have it. I proudly have lived through 2 very difficult abortions, and I would not like to have another one. But no. I would like to continue to always have the right to have one, because like they fucking saved my life. And yeah. I said like the second one, it was. That's the thing. You. Just not necessarily in the right circumstances would I like to be a mom, sure, but I don't want to be a mom so bad that, or think I have to be a mom so bad that I'm going to put a child through a shitty situation just so that I can tick some box in my life goals list or something, or have the feeling of being a mom, or complete
the
some
fact,
missing yeah. piece in my life or whatever, or like make my whole identity have, because I've seen just people suffer more from that than anything else, from like their parent using having a kid to fill some void in their life,
fix their marriage.
The kid grows up with all this pressure knowing that they're the only thing their parent mm. like, lives for or whatever.
Just the fact that like how I operate my personal organs mm-hmm. and who I fuck, who I yeah. sleep with,
what bathroom I'm gonna use,
is
between my legs,
one of the major platforms for who became president.
That's just that's because why that's what can stir people
is it
up the most.
Anyone's business.
Because you're like, because when you're
crazy.
Like, hey, we're putting children into debt by charging them for lunch, that somehow isn't as spicy to people and doesn't get them as fired up as, hey, someone's using a bathroom.
Or
get them.
You're
like, you
killing
know,
a baby.
Just, yeah, exactly. When it's
you're what starving
you,
a baby.
What are you putting kids through by getting them in debt with the school lunch
I
programs
know.
And stuff?
That's
historical precedent for that. I won't defend it.
The school lunch debt thing?
No, the abortion thing. Mm. I think that it's absolutely wrong to limit people's like availability and choice of like mm. when and how they have a kid. It's fucked that it is such a struggle to get abortion rights laws.
Because women will yeah. still, women found a way before and it was dangerous, but they did it with herbs and shit in the old mm-hmm. days, and they will do it again.
They will, yeah. But I feel like there's a reason, and we can understand some of the generational trauma and psychology that resulted in people caring so much about that, which was that when we had tiny communities that were going through bottlenecks, like a village of 50 people,
every new child mattered to be able to, yeah,
mattered
for the growth
so
of the,
much
yeah, I get that.
For survival and everything that's tied to our survival, whether it's food, reproduction, or shelter. Like food, reproduction, and shelter are basically 3 of the biggest political talking points right now. It's the stuff that gets people on a deep emotional level. So even though it doesn't make any sense in a modern world for other people to be sticking noses in your business and trying to control your uterus, there are like, I would almost say like evolutionary reflexes that have resulted in that kind of like bigoted attitude continuing through a time.
Yeah, the generational trauma of we fought to survive and to populate this place, and you're trying to like not keep it going or whatever. So I get that. I for sure can understand that aspect of it, and I get it for some communities where it's like cultural, like if your identity of your community was systematically erased by other people, then childbirth can be a really like important and really intense topic and subject, because the continuation of your race is also, it's also a way of reclaiming and decolonizing.
It's definitely
done to your community in a way for some people.
Yeah, it's definitely,
that's how they look at it. But
a story that I couldn't relate to, right? So even just having the privilege of being like, if I had a kid now, would I want to keep it? I don't really know. Just thinking like that at all is a privilege. And I just think it's a way of thinking that most of the systems that we have in place haven't caught up with, which is weird when the procedure is legal and available, but like the ideology of having a choice at all.
Oh yeah.
Is,
and even, and
is
it still
the question.
Doesn't necessarily feel like all that accepted.
No,
like I still have had debates at the dinner table with people who think they had a right to have an opinion on whether what I did
on your choice.
Yeah. And because they're hyper religious, or because they, because they weren't aborted or whatever, they were adopted or something.
Yeah.
I had a sister I didn't know growing up.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to know her, so like adoption was never
a
thing. I knew I could never have a baby and then just give it up and not, and that like it would just fuck with me too much. So
totally,
I'm just like, if I knew that if I got to that point, I would just be keeping the baby, and then I would just be in the situation of
perpetuating the cycle.
Yeah, that's another big thing too. Like I've been trying to break some generational trauma in my own world, in my family, and a big part of it is like I don't need to pass that down. So some, in a way, like I'm breaking the cycle by not, and by talking through my brother's moments with him when he like has parenting struggle moments because of how we grew up, and he just wanted to be the best dad he can. But we came from like a crazy situation.
You still got like a healthy like boundary with it too, where it's,
yeah, I mean, it's
still his
things.
Kids. It's just nice.
Oh yeah, it's a, yeah, I don't have, it's a, I, that's, I love being being involved in kids' lives, being the auntie to many, and like hearing lovely, like Tyler said, like that I've had an impact on his kids in a way that he loves to see and hear, and that my emotional intelligence and the way I say things to them is, I don't know, he said some nice stuff to me that made me all teary because it was sweet.
Aww.
But yeah, it's just, it's those things. I think that if we were, and it wouldn't be so frowned upon if we were in a more of a community village situation, because the women who don't have children in the village days were useful in so many, they were the aunties to many, they cared for many, they were healers or, you know, doing other things that helped in a community capacity. Whereas like now sometimes I also feel like even talking about having abortions is like something I don't do much of because there's not the same attitude towards it. As if you were to like have a miscarriage or something.
Yeah. And it's just been so vilified and it's been so emotionalized. I don't really know. The emotions have become a weapon.
Yeah.
So we avoid it at all costs. And yeah, I think we just need to start. What I feel like what we're doing right now is, let's talk about talking. Let's talk about communication. Let's talk about how to relate to each other in difficult.
Like, this is a first date, and then we were like, politics.
Also, here's my boyfriend on politics.
This is a classic polyamorous first date unicorn hunting situation. We're on a first date. By the way, here's my boyfriend and a bowl of meat.
Hello, like dream scenario.
Classic unicorn hunting situation gone wrong. My poly friends will love that. They love
that. No, but I feel like we are like, no, anytime. Okay, so
having those conversations is key.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to relate it back to like how we can affect our own community. And let's say, for example, I talk to my brother a lot, and he is currently, he just graduated with his master's of environmental energy and sustainable like energy conservation with using solar, wind, hydro, and just like maximizing battery storage for any and all of those renewable resources.
That's pretty sweet.
Pretty really cool, but he had to learn like the worst data
there
is. He had, and there was no counseling support, which is just boggling my mind. So I'm just like trying to sit there and hold him and just be like, okay, like, how do you feel like we deal with this? And he's, honestly, just what you're doing of getting involved in community action and getting involved with understanding your value in your community directly to like the people that you surround yourself with, learning how to do things together, learning how to live off the land, learning how to like skill share, learning how to like keep things localized.
Yeah, because that's the thing. The more we try to be hyper independent and do everything yourself and consume all, everyone goes out and buys all the things to
you
do
inadvertently
the things
you do yourself, are relying on the system.
You're also consuming more and outputting more energy and causing more waste and all these things, because a lot of the time, like, let's say I've decided I'm gonna do all of this music stuff all myself and not ever use an engineer or whatever. I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna get all the stuff to soundproof my house, I'm gonna get all the gear to do the things, I'll get all the stuff and whatever, and then I discover I hate this part, I can't do this part very well, I can't do that part, or I bought the wrong thing, I'm gonna get the right thing, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna do that, and then eventually I discover like, oh, it just makes more sense to do most of this myself, but then hire this person for this thing. And now I've got all this stuff that I've bought that just sits there or like that I have to return, or that like have, there's this, when you're doing something in a hyper individual, or like even if you're going to grow your own food and you're not very good at it and you like are like, but you're determined because you feel like you have to do everything yourself. So you build a whole garden and you buy all the things and whatever, but everything dies because you're not great at upkeeping it, because your skill is something else. But if you had a community where the people who are green thumbs are doing the garden, and the people who are good at, like, you have the person over here where we're doing the music house over here. We help everyone with their arts and shit. You got the people who are doing the childcare. You got the people who are doing the healing.
Which is the way we did it for tens of thousands of years.
I want to go back to that.
I'm so down to hunter-gather any day you want, babe. I will just go shoot some deer in the fucking Rockland parks and... we'll just start gathering berries.
I mean, I wouldn't want to eat those
and
deer.
Build a village.
But the way of the like communal living with actually skill sharing and
which
and
is happening, and like we are having to relearn those skills from scratch. And that's Adam, who I want to bring on next week.
Eat the deer in Rockland Park. They're very gross, but they're probably very lean, and they've been eating not enough. There's probably not good meat on those deer. You want to eat the deer from farther away.
Specialization for a second, because the idea of even everybody having different skills to share is actually an extremely modern situation. You go back 500 years, 1,000 years, 5,000 years. The farther back you go, the more everybody has all of the skills.
Yeah, that's true.
And there are no specialties because you're in survival. So I'm definitely a bit of a primitivist myself, but I don't want to go back to that, because that is awful. And that's what resulted in all of the trauma that has created this situation of desperate juggernaut into the abyss that our civilization is trying to do.
Yeah, I feel, the whole end of being stuck in survival mode is terrible. As someone who like lived in trauma survival mode a long time, it's hard to break out of, and it causes a lot of issues in your cortisol levels and stuff. Would not recommend, but it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I'm down with the concept of communal support and skill sharing and being a village and stuff, not feeling the need to like desperately do everything for the fear of survival or whatever.
I think we just have to be conscious of what things we are choosing to bring in from the legacy of Western civilization, because some of those things I suspect are going to be necessary to avoid winding up in another kind of barren survival situation.
Yeah, you're gonna need, you know? That's the thing. Yeah, you have to, like any situation, you gotta take the good from what you've learned, and not, because you can't just like revert. There's good things that were created and have come about from our industrializing of things, and some things that are gonna be super useful, but other things
but
that you're like
in a conscious situation where you can choose is like a healthier way of living, right? Whereas a lot of us just take things for granted. And I think the way that Adam's modeling it, and we're going to talk about that on our next episode with him, is just a very conscious choice and a very like intentional way of building a community based on what you can provide and only asking for what you need, and then just like thinking communally. And I also just think like whenever people are trying to switch their mindsets about anything, it's stop operating out of fear and stop operating out of scarcity as much as you can, because that is what puts us behind, because we're always trying to be 10
1,000 miles ahead of everyone else, because what if he takes it from me, right? Like, that state of mind, it just, it feeds itself. It feeds the spiral of violence and greed and scarcity. And I think the more I can simplify it into just, like, am I operating out of fear or out of love right now? That can really help in a lot of ways. And yes, I will also choose the penicillin because I am afraid of dying. But there are things that we can love about our society as well that we should.
I think breaking that cycle is the principal challenge that we're looking at today. Because as there's like kind of a, I don't know anything about game theory, but it feels like a game theory problem. It's like when you look at any situation where there's 10 people who are just chilling and one person who decides to use violence to take something, then the rest of the people either have the option of just laying down and letting this person get away with whatever act of theft or murder or whatever they're fearful mind has pushed them to do, and then they're out of the game. You're dead, you're unable to survive, your belongings are taken. Or you respond with violence and you become exactly like the person who's attacking
you. That's the thing. Yeah,
what the hell is the way out of that? Because right now we've got a situation, I feel like, where there's 10 billion people who are all like, I don't want to be doing this shitty stuff, but if I don't, then I'm fucked.
Well, and then there's a lot of people who are like, the only way to succeed is to do the things that those who've succeeded have chosen to do. And then that just perpetuates that same vicious cycle of, you can only get ahead by doing the wrong things and whatnot, which is, I don't know.
Which is not true. And I'm here to dispel that. And
dangerous place to be.
And yeah, and I want to use this podcast to highlight people who are making a difference and are doing so positively, creatively, and are challenging themselves. And I think we have this little beautiful pocket here in Victoria of a hopeful part of the world. Mm-hmm. We are very privileged. We live better than probably 98% of the world do. And with great power comes great responsibility. And I want to shut up. I want to.
I think it's cheesy, but it's true.
Yeah,
and I've some people, there's definitely countries that are doing much better than we are out there in the world, for sure.
Yeah.
But we are very privileged.
And people are just taking it seriously here too. And I don't know, like, all of the factors that contribute to it, but I do think that living on an island and just being somewhat separate in some ways makes it feel like you have a bit more autonomy and you're not just like being completely forced into living the way everybody else is living. And I'm really grateful for that. And yeah, I basically want to make it my life goal with this non-for-profit of just finding ways of just within my own circle of better supporting the people who make me want to stay here forever and grow old with them is like, how do I support that? Because in them supporting me, I live. And if I support them, they live. And I was like, that's the opposite of a fear, violence-based cycle. It's a love cycle. And it just helps everyone thrive together. And it feels impossible.
Community support is very important.
And it feels impossible when we think about it on a scale of like nationalist levels, because we are so densely populated that it's impossible to think about, if I give away all of my money or if I give away all of my time and energy, it won't even affect anyone, because we're thinking on these scales that aren't relatable to the human mind. I'm going to pick my battles and I'm going to choose to control what I can and spread the good word when I can, and hopefully it reaches people outside of the community. But if not, even if I'm affecting the people immediately around me, they're going to affect the people around them. And a beautiful thing that Adam will probably talk about next week is like all of the models of how we are figuring out communal living and sustainably communal living. He wants to be replicable so that it's not just for us. It's a thing that can be copied and shared for future generations to improve upon, and other people around the world to try and to improve upon. And because we're probably not going to get it right the first time. We are breaking these cycles that like our parents were pretty entrenched in, and their parents even more so. We are one of the first few generations to try and change the way that we do things, or just be aware of all of the effects that living like very ignorantly post-industrial revolution caused. And I'm really proud to be part of that. It is daunting. It feels like it's too much to ask. And that's why I'm trying to do things like not plan my whole year out, not just fill up my whole calendar, because yeah, I think just breaking it down to the simplicity of, I want to make sure I'm acting out of love.
Sustainability, like you can't.
Yeah,
it's not sustainable to just fill up your whole
exactly
calendar.
Exactly.
You're like, how do you have time to do any of the things?
No,
that's if they're.
I want to be present and grounded so that I can actually be an effective person in my immediate life and support the things that matter to me, and do so with an energy that hopefully others will see and match. And then we all become this glowing light in the world so that we're not just surrounded by the shit show all the time.
Yeah.
So that's my first date explanation of who I am.
Super random tangent that went so many places from the first date.
I really appreciate it though.
No, it's good. It's a good tangent. It's an important tangent to go on for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like we didn't really get into much of the first date topic, except for, like, I know you're very passionate about those things. I'm like, all right.
This girl won't shut up.
This girl wants to be join a hippie commune and get political as fuck. Is what I'm learning on this first date. No, I'm kidding, because I know you. So
totally.
But I'm just thinking about it as a lens of
I know.
I
it's
didn't know you.
Interesting. That idea, abandoned ship. But yeah. I just think it, yeah.
It was a last minute idea anyway.
I like having check-ins. I like just, like, looking at our immediate surroundings and then trying to figure out where I am in all of it. Because the more I don't do that, the more I feel like my feet are floating like 5 inches above the ground and I'm just being carried away. So thanks for letting me ramble.
No worries.
If anyone listened to this ramble. Whole podcast, I will be really surprised.
Ramble. We both are ramblers at times. It's
good. Yeah.
Yeah. If anyone listened to this whole thing, you'll be surprised. Some people will be surprised. This is very different from the last few where we've gone down a rabbit hole of politics and human nature, but it's not that different from stuff we always talk about. But
yeah, and I think
this does affect our everyday lives.
There's a balance for me of I want, because up until now I was really wanting this podcast to help other people, but I do want it to help myself as well. Mm-hmm. And someone once was like, oh, it's like a journaling thing for you, and I was like, that feels really like icky to take up space in people's ears just to talk about my life. But I think the things that I want to talk about are, like, they matter to me obviously, and these are the things I want to spark more conversations into the people around me. So hopefully when people reach out to me.
And that is a lot. Like, a lot of the times, some of the best podcasts do come across, like, people are just journaling and talking about experiences.
People talk about nonsense. They talk about fucking celebrities about for 3 hours and haircuts.
And it's, I don't know. People talk about anything they want. But yeah, like, having a journaling and, like, just talk therapy is important. Even if you're just talking about your day, like, talking things out with people or talking things out hypothetically or just thinking about having conversations just about your view on the world and what you want from life in the world is, I don't know, it's a big part of our life that we neglect too much.
I just don't want to be an empty shell of a podcast that's just trying to be fun and entertaining. I want to hopefully spark some really important and valuable conversations within our community that inspire people to give a shit and, yeah, get involved. And hopefully this will lead to maybe some things like Eleanor was suggesting about, like, artist round tables and just, like, getting a little more
engaged. I think it's definitely something where the gap between artists and politics definitely has to be closed in order for things to happen more in the city that benefit the arts community. And a lot of artists either feel burnt out or uninterested in politics, I'm sure, but the getting involved is definitely a way to make sure things happen for the arts community. Our camera's going for a ride.
Oh my god. Okay.
Alice, this is so
funny.
You know,
I'm just gonna say goodbye anyways.
Oh, you're so funny.
So I'm just gonna fucking lift
this out. You're gonna say goodbye?
How?
Oh, you're hilarious. I thought we were gonna try to bring it back around somehow. This video is so funny right now.
So
how's your first date going?
This is great.
I think I'm probably gonna get called for psychiatric support.
First date ever.
But it's been really nice getting to know you.
I've had some terrible first dates, so this is not the worst.
This is not the worst.
No, I'll give you that.
Yikes. I mansplained. It was great. But
it's like a lot of dates I've been on then.
Yeah, I went into this a lot more tired than I was hoping to. Today ended up being a really long day. So thank you guys for rolling with a lesser structured Tasha brain, but Katie, you held on to the reins for me, and I'm really grateful. And Isaac, thank you so much for stopping in and sharing your wonderful brain. We'll have an official... Yeah, anytime you want to jump in, you're welcome to. Anytime anyone wants to jump in, you're welcome to. I want to support our local little bubble here. And if anyone wants to give feedback, you know where to find us. We're at Squish Podcast on Instagram, and we're on all of the streamables except Apple Music, I don't think, because they make you pay extra because they're fucking capitalist greedy bitches.
Fuck them.
I don't know if that's true, actually. Don't quote me. Yeah. I'm too tired to talk logistics. But, yeah, thanks for listening to Squish. I'm going to read this sticker into the camera.
What's the sticker?
I can't read.
Okay, hang on. Let me see the sticker. Hold, let me give me the book.
Oh, I figured it out. My God, it says,
you're so funny.
Say gay, protect trans kids, read banned books, teach all history, and show love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you better.
you better. This is
do the good things and just don't be a dickosaurus.
Don't be a dickosaurus, but if you do, make it loving and acceptable, abundant dickosaurus that lets people do what they want. Take this microphone away from me.
I'm just like watching where it's going. I'm about to make popcorn and keep watching the. I don't. I'm.
This is me.
The
I'm
worst for that. I'll let you. Keep
very
going.
Little okayness apparently. Okay, I gotta hang up the phone. This is not.
I gotta hang up the phone.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, you guys. Oh my God, you're priceless.
Okay. We want to thank everyone who made Squish happen. Specifically, we would love to thank Alana Alstrom and Renata Baldwin for the wonderful background music for our intro and outro, as well as all of our vocal squishers who offered your cute little voices.
So adorable. We love you so much.
I want to thank Katie for editing together our intro and outro soundtrack.
And Tash for doing the video editing and a bunch of great graphic design work.
That's right. We're thanking ourselves because we fucking did this, bitch. Yeah, if you've made it this far, thank you so much for sticking around, and we hope to catch you in the next episode.
Heck yeah, thanks to everyone for being part of it.
Love you.
Love you.